We are kings, yeah? We're the King's Church. Yes, that's our name. And last week we talked about a bit about that, about our name being the King's Church and how that sort of describes who we are as a small church in Addlestone. But I think it's also, I think I alluded to this last week, it's one way of describing the church globally, the King's Church, yeah? We're talking about the church globally that is under the lordship of Christ, the King. And so today we're going to be looking particularly at how we are connected to the wider body of the church and how we are the King's Church, part of the church that is under the lordship and the kingship of Jesus, who's King of all. Now, in the world today, I'm sure you realize this, we live in a very divided and divisive world, don't we? Yeah, I won't repeat, particularly as there are children in the room, what Donald Trump said earlier this week about other countries. But he sort of typifies, whilst a lot of people don't like Trump, he does typify a lot of the way the world is at the moment, which is very divided. And you've got your old-fashioned religious divides, you've got cultural divides, you've got your social divides, there's poverty and there's wealth, there's nationalism, particularly on the rise, which is very disturbing. You've got political divides, there's land struggles, you know, and that's the world we live in. But we must be people that announce the good news, always announcing the good news. This is what Jesus came to do, is to announce good news. And Jesus' gospel announcement is something that we must be confident that reconciles people, that brings people together. And he brings, we've particularly in, when we take communion, we remember that the blood of Jesus pays for our sins and we are reconciled between us. There's a reconciliation between us and God. But wrapped up with that in Jesus' way is that we are reconciled to one another. And so he taught us, Jesus taught us that when we worship, we can only really worship God at this way, if you like, once we are right with people this way. And so Jesus said, if you've got any unresolved issues with your brothers and sisters or people that you know, if you've got anything, you're on the way to the temple and you've got an offering, this is talking in Old Testament speak, you know, or basically if you're on your way to church and you've got your hymn book in your hand or you've got your CD, worship CD playing on in the car, and you know that you've got an issue with your brother, park the car, leave the hymn book, go and sort it out with your brother, leave the offering, go and sort it out with your brother, and then you can worship. Kind of implying, if you don't get it right with your brother, you're not going to be able to worship with God. That's just the way it is. He taught us to pray, did he not? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That's an interesting thing there, because basically he's saying, you know, if you forgive others, God will forgive you. And he even goes on to say, if you don't forgive others, God will not forgive you. Your forgiveness is in your own hands, there he's saying. This is, you know, I don't know whether we like to say this sometimes, but it actually, he's being very direct. Jesus never really beats about the bush, really. You know, forgiveness, your forgiveness to God, your connection with God hangs on how you are with other people. And so our relationship with God is linked completely with our relationship with other people. A lot of people would like to sort of avoid that. You know, we'd all like, I mean, I was talking to Peter, we were saying the other week, wouldn't we, just go and live in a sort of a, you know, a cabin somewhere in the middle of nowhere, no neighbours, you know, and you know, and actually I would probably live a pretty sinless life if I lived out in the forest with no, you know, sitting on a pole somewhere and not talking to anybody. Not sinless, but near enough, you know, I'm getting there. Because I don't have to interact with people. But actually, in reality, sorry, Peter, in reality, we do live in a world where we're around people, and Jesus says if we want to be right with God, then we also need to be right with the people, and those two things go together. So, we are the King's Church. The King's Church. Now, that whole thing about relationship with other people and a relationship with God, that works. We tend to think of that, particularly within the King's Church, on a very local and sort of local situation. So if Sheila's upset me, then I need to deal with my issues with Sheila because she's very irritating, obviously. You know. And likewise, she has to deal with, and we think of it on a one-to-one relationship thing. I don't think Sheila's irritating, by the way, but I'm just using, she's the first person that came. But we do that on a very local thing, but it also works on a global level. And when, like I said, when we speak about the King's Church, our name speaks of something much bigger than this little gathering here. We're talking about something where we are connected with the Church of God around the world. So we're not just a little church on Marsh Lane. We are part of the King's Church globally. And so we are to be a people connected with and reconciled to the people around the world in God's church. And so our connections, and that's why it's important, I'm really glad that we can focus on our mission partners at the moment, because it's important and it's vital for us as a small church, particularly as a small church. We're an independent church, we're a small church, and it's very easy to be quite insular and just completely miss that there's a bigger picture. It's very easy to imagine that, okay, well, there's a few things happening here, and we see this and we see that, but actually there's not much happening in the kingdom of God, because we kind of think that all that's happening is just here in this little goldfish bowl. But actually, the kingdom of God extends in all kinds of directions across this world through the church. And we're part of that. And I think it's vital for us to see that what we do, and we looked at last week, we looked at our toy library, didn't we, and our job club. It's vital to see that those things are connected. So our children's ministry through the toy library is connected through Elam's children's videos. Yeah, because we're talking about something that God is doing through his church. It's all part of the same church. It's not some kind of separate thing where, wow, they've got an interesting Persian children's video thing with a pie in the face. We need to work on that pie in the face thing. But it's all connected. You know, and when we do our job club and we're helping those who are marginalized, it's connected with what Paul's doing and what Elam are doing in different parts of the world, helping those who are in need. One thing I forgot to mention, David was telling me just before Christmas, there was a big earthquake in Iran, which didn't get an awful lot of coverage on the news. It did get a little bit of coverage, but they were able to go and bring some relief work, Elam, into that area. So, I mean, these are things that just get completely, don't get talked about on the news. But anyway, that's another thing. But what I'm saying is that we're all part of this bigger thing. Much bigger than us. We have our role to play, and that's an important and unique thing that we do locally. But what we're doing here is connected, whether you realize it or not, it is connected to what God is doing in different parts of the world. Things he's doing in Iran, things he's doing in Colombia and all around the world through his church. We're the King's Church, one body. We share, last week we talked about sharing the inheritance of the Father together. And we do that here locally, but we also do it across many borders, many boundaries. Whatever the world puts up as a boundary, we overcome that through the church. Now, I'm going to read you a little bit of Romans here. This is how the early church operated. This is from Romans 15. This is the letter that Paul sent to the Roman church. And now, he's a man who travelled, you know. Paul, if I'm honest, Paul Benison, he likes to brag a little bit about how many countries he's been to. But I think Paul, the Apostle Paul, possibly outdoes him. They didn't have aeroplanes in those days, so he did very well, Paul. And he's writing to the Roman church, having been around many other churches, and he says this in chapter 15, verse 25. Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So what's going on here is you've had this, I mean, the church, everything started in Jerusalem, okay, really, in terms of church. You know, that was where Jesus started, and he said to what did he say to the disciples? Go into all the world and make disciples, starting here in Jerusalem, going out into Judea, which is the local surrounding, and then into all the earth, into all the nations. And so they've done that. One way or another, and particularly through Paul, they've gone out into to all around, and made disciples in all different kinds of places, and these are just a couple of places mentioned here. And so there have been churches springing up all around the known world, really, in reality. And they had received the good news and the spiritual blessings that come through Jesus. And now, the disciples in those places, the followers of Christ in those places, Macedonia, and I don't know how you say it, Achaia? I should say bless you after that. There we go, there's a... Thank you. They were starting to collect money and send it back to the poor in Jerusalem. And Paul speaks of this interchange of spiritual blessings going one way and material blessings flowing the other way. And these people and these places would have been separated by quite a large distance, particularly in those days. We're talking about huge distances when the logistics, I mean, even just now when you think about Food Bank, if you go and visit Food Bank, Sheila can tell you this because she knows, been there and seen the internet, but the logistics, and Reg will tell you, the logistics of moving food from one place to another is logistics. It's, you know, the ministry is in the logistics. And we're just talking about a small amount of food, really, to a small area. But here's Paul, and he's traveling around the place, and he's bringing things here and taking things there, and this is a big deal. Because these people would have been separated. It's quite possible they would have been quite hostile. I mean, you know the situation in the Middle East now. It's not new, by the way. You know, this stuff's been going on for centuries, if not millennia. But here you have, within the church, God's people says, they need stuff over there, and we've got it, so we're going to send it. Because we've received from them, we're going to share back. And so there's this ebb and flow. And it's happening on a global level. In 2 Corinthians, it speaks of a similar thing. Paul says, at the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, the one who gathers did not have too much, and the one who gathered did not have too little. See, the idea in the church is that we share what God's given us, sharing in the inheritance, like we said last week. We talked about it last week within the local church, but we're talking also here within the global church. So I believe, actually, now there's some humility that we need to have as a church now in the Western world, because I believe God has given us financial blessings. As a church, we are, even though we're small, we are rich financially. Okay? The fact that you can pay for a pastor in this church is amazing, looking around. The fact that then we can also take off 10% and send it off to other people, we're blessed. Okay? But here's where the humility comes, because I think as we support our mission partners, God would also have us, he would challenge us to increase that support. That's the old-fashioned challenge to church, and I believe that still exists. But he would also challenge us to receive back from them spiritual blessing. To actually realize that there's stuff going on through the ministry of Elam that's not going on in this church, but that we could receive from it. Yeah? And there's stuff going on with Paul Benison that's not going on here that we could receive from. Yeah? They're not going to be sending money to us, I'll tell you that now. But actually, to be honest with you, we don't really need it. I thank God for that. But as our plenty supplies their need, their plenty, and we'll have a little think about what that is in a minute, will supply our needs. So we have material blessings and spiritual blessings, because I also encourage you to pray for these people. Pray for them and lift them up in prayer, because they, you know, if you know anything about Paul, particularly Paul Benison, he's always got something going wrong, you know, whether it's his car that Keith has to fix, or the credit card's been cloned and forged or whatever, or something, you know, or some disaster's happened. Paul is just, you know, so pray for him, and let me tell you that that taking Bibles into Iran and all that kind of stuff, that has its challenges, all right? So you can pray for them as well. But I also ask that we pray that those ministries and what God is doing in through those people would also then come back to us in some way. And that as we receive from them, our worship of God will increase, because we are more reconciled and we're more connected as the church globally, the King's Church globally. We'll be a much more healthy church, I think, if we do that. So I want us to watch another video. This is about 8 minutes, so get comfortable. And it's also in Persian with English subtitles, so you're going to have to read. But this is a video that Ilan put together, a story of a lady who came to Christ in Iran, and the story speaks for itself. But I want you to watch this, but also allow God, as we're watching this, to bless you with what is happening in this video, if that makes sense. So allow the spiritual blessing to come back, and we'll talk about that in a second. Excuse me while I go back to my little desk here. I think we need to share in that passion that she has. One of the lines that stuck out there, she says, this book needs to be shared by hand. And it's not some big thing, you know, but it's just individuals just going to other individuals and sharing the word of God. And I pray that passion hits us, you know. I pray that passion that she has for her people to be saved comes back to us. That passion to see lives transformed, not just people become Christians, literally have lives transformed and renewed as hers was. And this whole thing with Elam, you know, Elam started as six guys who had come from Iran, and they found themselves in England. They got together and they were living in a two-bedroom flat here in England, and they started Elam in 1990. And now it is, the extent of what's going on through them is incredible. And so also the fact that they were just a small thing, just like we're just a small thing, but they're having a huge impact, and I pray that also would come back to us. I'm going to show you one final video, and then we're going to close. This is a video, some of you might have seen it, but Paul Benison, as well as his healing ministry, he's also in Colombia. He's made very good friends with a lady called Anna, and a while back, she was caring for old people in there because they don't have social security like we do here. But sounds terrible, but at the end of the day, old people are expensive to keep. And so in Colombia, oftentimes families don't look after old people, and so they're just left on the streets. So this lady, Anna, she had found this house and collected, I can't remember, was it something like 60 or 80 people? I can't remember in this house. It was something were just living in this house, and she was looking after them. And I can't remember exactly the circumstances, a few years ago now. But Paul then decided to start raising some money to buy the house for Anna so that she can continue to house these people. And I'm going to show you a video now. And I want us, again, to share, because we actually contributed to that, by the way. He raised, I think it was about £25,000, which, again, in reality, that's nothing to buy a house, to house 80-odd people or something crazy. He raised that money, and I want us to share in the joy of her reaction, so that we would share that blessing as well, okay? So just one second while I get that queued up. So I want us to share in our joy, that emotion. I mean, we get it in a little bit. It's actually when we took the food hampers around at Christmas time. You know, there were on a smaller level. There was that kind of reaction, I think. But we need to humble ourselves to receive that it's not just us writing a blank check and saying, oh, here's some money that's just going out, and we've got no connection to this, but we're just sort of sending money out. But that these things would come back to us, and let's remind ourselves of these things. And if you want to find out more, you go on the Elam website, go on the Paul's website. You can tell the quality in videos are slightly different, but you get the impact from Paul's just as much as you do Elam. And I just want to encourage you that we are the King's Church. We're a church with a big vision. it's not just our little vision for our little thing, which is pretty big, actually, for a small church. It's big enough, you know. But we are part of the King's Church, and we are connected, very, very connected to what's going on. And these are just two things that we've tied into that are going on around the world. But I want you to encourage you to pray for our mission partners, pray for Elam, pray for Paul Benison, pray for them, but also pray that as we pray for them, we'd receive from them as well. And that takes a bit of humility for us to think that we haven't got it all. Well, we haven't got it all, but that's part of how the church works, so that they would supply for us and we would supply for them. So find out more about them. Find ways of developing deeper connections with them. You know, maybe sign up to their newsletter, or Paul's got a blog. You could sign up to a newsletter as well, or Elam do too. And I'd even go this far. Don't rule out going on a trip with Paul, or maybe going to Turkey and visiting what's going on in Elam and helping out there. Pray. And you know, if you were to go and then come back, even just for a week, and just come back and just tell us what's going on, or get impacted with what Paul's doing, or get impacted with what Elon's doing, it would bless us. Even more than a video. Videos are good, but nothing like somebody coming back and saying, do you know what I've seen? Let me just read you that bit from Romans again and we'll close. Now, however, I'm on the way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we are able to share what you have given us. We are grateful for the provision and the finances that come through this church. We're grateful for the ability and the freedom that we have to use those things, and we want to use them wisely. And as we send out our offerings to Paul and to Elam, we pray, increase it and multiply it. Increase their work and increase their anointing. We pray for greater boldness and greater impact through Elam into the nation of Iran, to bring the gospel to the people that haven't heard of you in that country. We pray for greater increase in anointing on Paul and his healing ministry, and also his ministry of bringing just justice and righteousness into that situation there in Colombia, and to bring rescue to those people. And as we pray for them, we also pray for ourselves and pray, bring back on us as we supply in material ways and pray for them. We pray, we desire to be open to receiving spiritual blessings for them, that the work that you're doing through them would impact us. Let us receive the joy of Anna Bieber. Let us receive the passion of Leiden for spreading your word, for living on your word. Let us know a greater increase in healing here in this church as we support Paul. Let us see a greater increase in lives changed as we support the work of Elam. We desire to see that interchange of spiritual and material blessings go backwards and forwards between us. And so I pray over this next year that we'd really see an increase of that in this church. In Jesus' name. Amen.